feet and above would require a conditional use permit. And so that is the request that's being made. The request is to get conditional use permit approval to allow for two sets of double doors, one at 10 feet and one at 12 feet. And the property owner has vehicles that have a higher profile than a typical vehicle, and so that is the reason why the taller garage doors. And the garage doors will be totally integrated into the architecture of the home. It's a future home. Staff has been working with the architect who's here this evening, Brian Price. He could talk a little bit more about the details of it, but yeah, for a better part of almost 2 years. And so there's a lot of details. There's a lot of thought that went into the design of this home, and that's my comments at this time. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
So those are the only two things, is just the garage doors?
Just the garage doors, yes, sir.
Now, the garage doors, is, from my view of inspection of the property, the garage doors will actually be lower than street level, correct?
That's correct.
So people will be looking down on the garage doors.
Yeah, from street view, the home will be one story, but it'll probably be less than one story in profile because it's lower on the grade. So as a result of that, the doors will be lower as well.
Okay. Now, we've seen this project in another iteration before a few months ago. Same owner or different owner?
Yes, same owner.
Okay.
And so, like I said, Brian Price is here this evening, the architect has been working on this project. If you have any questions for him.
Okay. My compliments.
Beautiful design.
Very much reflects the owner's desires and his experience in construction himself. He was a general contractor for many years. And
is there anyone here from the public to speak regarding this particular variance or this CUP?
Okay. So the process would be the CDC will make a recommendation to go before the full city council, and I believe this item has been agendized for tomorrow night, city council meeting. So the disposition would be up to your recommendation will be communicated tomorrow night to the city council.
Okay, I'll move that we make the recommendation to city council.
Second.
Okay, that's item 4A. We're on 4B.
Okay, so this item is also a conditional use permit request. It's two parts to this one. One is a request to have garage doors, again, that are taller than 8 feet in height. And the other part of the request is to allow for a detached accessory building to exceed 15 feet in height. Our code says that any building that is a detached accessory building that's higher than 15 feet would require a conditional use permit. So those are the two items under this one conditional use permit that the property owner is requesting approval for. The reason for the taller detached accessory building is because the property owner wants to store their recreational vehicle in a garage. And again, part of it is allowing or designing it to have a door that can accommodate the height, the vertical dimension of the vehicle. The request is to have a 14-foot tall door. And the height of the accessory building is 20 feet, so it'd be a deviation of 5 feet. But it's well within the maximum allowable height of 30 feet for any other residential building in the city, in either the E4 zone or the R1 zone. I see Scott Armstrong, who I've been working with on this project. He's available to answer any questions, and I'm available to answer any questions on this project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public who wants to speak on behalf of this? Okay. Questions, comments?
I just have one question. I'm from 1861. I'm the
If I could ask you to come up here so we can get, we're recording this and it, your voice is, if you could just.
Speak louder.
Okay, great, thank you.
I'm from 1861, I'm the neighbor directly to them. And I just have one concern. It's a two-story structure for a garage, basically, and it's freestanding. And I'm just concerned because I don't know what the protocol is when they actually go to get inform the neighbors, because I was literally just given one night to think about, or not even think about it. And they gave us no time to even like process the design or anything of that nature. I didn't really have an opportunity to talk to any of the other neighbors regarding that. I thought that was a little bit rushed, in my opinion. I don't know what the normal time frame is for something like that. Are neighbors given a certain amount of time to think about it? Like, That part I don't know. That's what I'm really here for, just to kind of learn that.
So for public hearing items like variance, conditional use permit, our code requires that a public hearing notice be mailed out to all of the most current property owners within a 300-foot radius 10 calendar days before the meeting. So we followed that requirement. In addition to that, it's been probably about a year now where the Community Development Committee had asked staff to send out courtesy notices prior to having these types of meetings. So there were two notices, actually, that had been sent out for the items that came before this one and the one after. So, it'll be noted. It should have already been noticed. You should have already received a public hearing notice.
I got those letters about a week ago.
That's about right, because, that's about 10. Yeah, we sent it out. In some cases, we send them out earlier. Yeah, but the minimum is 10 days.
So does your property join next to the garage?
No, we're directly.
Okay.
And my concern is not my view, per se, but I think my neighbors are greatly underestimating how big this garage door is going to be. And I don't think they've really had time to really think it through. Like, for me, ultimately, I care about our relationship and I want to get along with my neighbor. But I still feel like everyone's under this impression that this big garage will bring up property values, but I feel like it's the exact opposite. I feel like if you're not an RV person, which I know many of my neighbors are, I feel like it actually detracts from the value of the home. And unless you are into that culture, if you just see a big garage door, many people may not understand the value of that. And that's just my concern. I think my neighbor has plenty of space. I don't know why they're not looking into making it more attached, where it would look more fluid with the home. And that's just my concern. And I kind of did bring that up with them, but they said there were reasons, but again, there wasn't much time to have an open discussion regarding that. And that's just my concern as a neighbor and as a newer member of the community too. I mean, the last thing I want to do is just drive around the city and see big garage doors. Like, I don't want that, you know? So that's my concern.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sure. My name's Brian Ferris, and this is our home. And like to address that. We do have, right now we have 10 letters of support from our neighbors. No one seems to have a problem with that. I'm kind of a little bit surprised to hear this from Daniel, because we've had them in our backyard.
On numerous occasions.
A few times, showed them the plans well before this.
We're very open.
They told us they would not get in our way.
Actually, I disagree with them. They showed us.
Can you let him finish, please?
Can you please let me finish? You were in the backyard, and you saw it, and you said that you wouldn't get our way to my plans. So I'm kind of caught off guard a little bit by this. They did sign the letter of support. So this is the first time I've heard that he was a little bit curious about our project. We do have a 60-foot setback right now, as it stands.
A
60-foot setback.
Oh, on the side yard, side to side.
As it stands. So we have a lot of room on that side.
Yeah, from
the house to the.
I'm sorry?
From the house to the back wall?
No, to the side yard.
Side yard.
Side wall.
Big side yard.
to his. I believe in the front of the of the yard, we will have 20 to 24 feet between our property and his, and the front. So there's still, you know, a substantial side yard. We are going to make it look from the front to be a cohesive with the house, so it will not look like a ski catch. We're going to create a courtyard there. So it's part of an overall plan. And so that's what we've been doing. We're trying to make it thoughtful. And it will be a huge improvement to our house. Currently, our facade is pretty much an original facade from 1974. It's one of the last houses to be redone on the street. So we're going to be kind of bringing it up to date. And it will improve property values because it will look like a, I shouldn't say contemporary, but it will look like a newer home. And it will look fixed up. And there are some maintenance issues that have to be done. We do have a balcony, one of the last balconies on the street, that really all it does is attract wood rot and termites. It is becoming a safety issue, so we do need to take care of that along with the rest of the facade. So that is what we're trying to do. And as far as someone not enjoying recreational vehicles, you know, I don't know how that stands with what we're trying to do. Okay. So, but anyway, so we've given everyone ample time. We've shown them plans. We've walked around with our plans well in advance. I mean, in the summer, way back in the summer, we first had him drawn. He's been aware of this project, and he's really, you know, we haven't heard anything negative before we got until just now. So.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it. I would be happy if you have any questions and to answer it.
I think the gentleman.
They never talked about the garage with us. They talked about the improvement of the pool and everything else. The letter that he's talking about was really the opening question that I was actually referring to, because that letter that was presented to us was literally the night before they submitted those documents to the city. That is what I'm saying, that I feel a little bit, it's just a little bit odd, because I feel like they should have given us a little more time, and they really didn't show us any plans until that night before the cable was due to the city. And that's all I'm trying to bring to your attention, because the only thing that they shared plans with us, they never showed us anything until literally the night before they submitted all the
documents.
So that was a little bit unusual. And I asked a lot of questions to them that night, depending on how short, but I felt that their answers to them were also very short. And my wife is not here because she doesn't want any tension between us, and I agree with that. And she's the one who ultimately signed that document. But ultimately, after thinking about it, I'm the one who's at odds with it. I know we gave them our letter of support, but again, I just feel like it was in such haste that I didn't feel like we really had a chance to really think through the, like, what they're proposing. And that's all I want noted on the record. Ultimately, I still want to smooth things out after this. Obviously, this can cause tension between us. But I just want that noted, because that was my primary question of how long is a decent time to give a neighbor to talk about those designs and plans. And they never showed us any drawings until literally the night before that they wanted our signatures. And that was, again, I just feel like it was just a little odd to me. And that's all I wanted.
Okay.
I'd like to respond. We did have the current plans that we submitted. We had that laid out, kind of like a storyboard on our yard with different items. While he walked it, and I had the plans in my hand. Again, I'm a little bit confused. And the letter that he received is the letter of support. We got notice earlier in the week that we need to provide a letter of support. We drafted the letter of support as soon as it was drafted. We went around and tried to gain letters of support, and again they signed it. So that's all I.
So I asked,
can't really add any more to that.
I asked the other neighbor too, the other adjacent neighbor, when they got the letter to them, and they also said they got it to them that Thursday night before they're going to submit the document. So that's all I'm trying to point out. think it's...
So are you frustrated with our process or with the city process?
Well, I thought the letter said there should be any questions that we can ask. And I mean, I read the letter, I didn't get a copy of it, but it said I couldn't even call the engineering company. Where was the opportunity to even do that if you hadn't signed it the night before and it was presented to the city literally the morning after? I thought that's what I felt like was unusual. If it was genuine, if it was not going to be a big deal, I feel like it should have been done right. And that's why I feel a little like, I feel like it was rushed, and I feel uneasiness about the fact that it seems so rushed.
Well, it appears that there's been a little difficulty in communication, and maybe, you know, this building's going to be here for perpetuity almost, as far as our lives are concerned. Would it be too much to ask if we just continue this item to next month and give everybody a chance to talk and, you know, resolve any of their concerns? I know that the Ferrises are anxious to get moving on the project, but it's going to be over the holidays anyway, so... Yeah,
well, we do have work going on at our house right now.
Yeah.
We do have a pool
yeah.
being constructed, which he wasn't really excited about either. It's just a pool in our backyard. We do have money kind of flowing out right now. This will delay everything that we're trying to do in conjunction with our current work. Daniel has known about this for quite some time. There's nothing I can do about what he's saying. I personally wouldn't like to, but it's at your discretion.
One of the challenges that we have is, you know, we're in the month of December. There are a lot of people that travel for the holiday season. They're not home, things of that nature. So for us to put out notices, you know, to meet the 10-day requirement, you know, and especially with the holiday mail and things like that, it's just difficult sometimes, especially during December. And I can tell you, past Decembers, we've not had this kind of full agenda for December to weigh in on a lot of these designs and things like that. So I would hope that it won't inconvenience you too much, but I too would recommend, given the opportunity to work with your neighbor, and also I'd like to see, I saw some letters of support, but I want to make sure that we give ample time for anyone to come in and weigh in, because this is a huge addition to your house.
To your point, I believe a notice letter is not what he's talking about. The notice letter sounds like it was out
True.
At the correct time.
True.
It was the letter of support letter
mm-hmm.
that they signed
mm-hmm.
That he is referring to.
Do you think that you two could come to some kind of agreement?
We didn't know because this is the first I heard of it.
They signed the report.
The lady in the back also seemed to have some questions or concerns. I think, considering you're going to be living there for a long, you've indicated you're going to live there in perpetuity. So, we've got 2 weeks of holidays where probably not a lot's going to get done. So I don't think we're only asking for.
Yeah, no. If that's what you guys yeah. need to do, that's fine.
We want to make sure that everybody has
point
their...
Is
we know they do try.
To talk with us.
We've
had them in the yard plenty of times over the summer.
We discussed it with them. We've been very... All the neighbors agree that we've been very transparent and open with them about our plans. And, you know, I can recall on at least one occasion where his wife and him were in the backyard and they said, we're really excited for you guys about these plans. If there's anything we can do to help expedite them, please let us know. But we're totally on board and we want to help you guys. And so when we brought the letter of support to him, you know, to have him sign it, we were under the assumption that they were completely on board because we walked them through that. So we didn't feel like it was being rushed because the other neighbors just said, oh yeah, you've already told us what's going on and we understand that. So that was why, you know.
So yeah, no, we're available to talk anytime. He knows that. And
okay.
Yeah,
we've extended that.
Thank you.
Extended that invitation for months. So
okay. Then I'll make the motion to continue it to our January meeting and
are you talking about continuing it to the January City Council meeting?
The January CDC meeting.
CDC meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh, I did have some questions before we continue, if it's okay. Ray, and my ignorance of the, but we're calling it a detached, but yet it's attached. I noticed there was a beam in there and a few other things that, and I realized the facade and everything else is coming across the front, but what qualifies that as a detached versus attached?
Per the zoning ordinance, and we went over this with the Loma project, where they had the two-story ADU,
right.
That the walls have to be next to a living space.
Okay.
So it's physically attached.
To the beam, but it's not.
But it's not.
The walls are not contiguous.
Yeah, it's not to another living space. And that's how the definition is written for attached, detached.
And if I'm not mistaken, you also listed in the resolution something to do with ADU?
No.
Okay.
No. That I was just referencing the one that we had gone through at the previous city council meeting.
The one on Mesa.
The one on Mesa.
Okay.
Because we had a really good discussion about what's attached and what's detached.
That one, yeah.
Just by point of information, I've been talking with Steve and Ray for several months about, there are a number of, we've seen several RV garages of this nature that have been approved in the city. And, I've asked them if they can look into developing some standards for those so that
because it does change, it changes the makeup of a lot of the property and stuff. People bought and Villa Park because of the spacious property and things of that nature. And now when we start consuming that spacious property with, homes and garages and other structures and things like that, it takes away from the niceness of the neighborhood and why people actually bought here.
Yeah.
I don't want to reach out and touch my neighbor, no offense, but, in one way, shape, or form, it's just... That's part of the reason I bought Villa Park. But when people start expanding all the way up to the property line and things like that, it takes away from why a lot of people bought here. So we have to be careful about those kinds of things. The other question I had, too, was, is there any special provisions for the additional bathroom and the laundry put in from a sewer perspective?
Not from a planning standpoint, perhaps from building.
Okay.
One thing I need to point out on this project also, and Scott knows about this, and we've discussed this before, is the minimum setback requirement for a detached accessory structure from the front yard is 50 feet, and what they're showing is less.
That's 45 feet, isn't it?
Less than that. I think it's 39.
39.2 with that storage unit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I know that the Ferrises want to maintain that same building line across the front. And if they wanted to do that, then that would be a variance application. It would be separate apart from what they're asking for now. So that would be a separate item altogether.
Yeah, because I made a note of that when I reviewed the plans that it was not.
I thought you did.
Now, to your issue about the setback, what is the setback required now of the accessory unit? Is that are they meeting their side yard setback requirements?
They are. Okay. Yeah, for a detached accessory building, it could be within 10 feet of a side and rear property line, but the 50 foot still applies to the front yard.
So accessory building, it's a shallower or smaller easement than if it was a primary structure.
Less restrictive, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if they were to move their RV garage over closer to where it was contiguous with their house, then they'd have to develop they wouldn't meet their easement requirements or side.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're 20 to 24 feet in the front from the.
I'm talking about the side yard setback.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
Okay.
So
it's still 20 to 24
feet. From the front, in the front, we're 20 to 24 feet.
Yeah.
From
so is that still. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But we're
where
still
is
good.
It from here to here?
I think he said 20 feet.
In the front.
In the front.
In the back. In the back.
There's 10 feet.
So
there'll
still be space.
At 10, because our lot line,
lot,
it's not straight. It kind of angles back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 15 here. To the...
So we're 10 in the back, but from the front it's 20 to 24.
I just didn't see the dimension here.
Yeah, I didn't see that dimension either. Now, in terms of total lot coverage, are they still within... the accessory unit is factored into the calculation of lot coverage, correct?
Yes.
And they're within their lot coverage?
They are.
So you raise concerns about you don't want to be too close, mm-hmm. and you also don't want to have, you know, just a lot covered with...
Right. No, I knew this was okay.
Yeah.
There's others that exceed, but this one does not.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll continue it.
That's the
yes.
So we'll advise the council tomorrow that item will not be addressed at the agenda tomorrow night.
All right.
Okay. We'll have to. We'll have to. So it'll be on. It remains on the agenda tomorrow night. But when the item comes up, I'll introduce it as being continued at the recommendation of the CDC. Until the January meeting, so it will remain on the January City Council meeting, but prior to that it will come to the January CDC meeting first, which the date will be supposed to be the first Monday in just January, but since that's the holiday, New Year's Eve.
We've already noticed it,
so it just becomes a continuation. So
so far there's no other hesitancy by any other neighbor or anything. Other than the gentleman that spoke.
No, in fact, everyone we approached now got 10 letters of support.
And they said they would come to the meeting. They're all planning coming tomorrow to support us because, you know, we're excited for this.
Yeah. So. Well, you probably will tell them they come. They don't. We don't need
we'll
to stay because we'll be. Yeah, let them off the hook for tomorrow night. I don't mean to.
Actually, if that's truly the case, I'm not here to block them from doing what they want to do. I'm just really here just to express my concern. And if I'm the only one, I have no desire to hold up this plan. So I want you to know that as well. So if you truly feel everything is good to go and the city is comfortable with this type of design, then I actually do not want to stand in the way that's...
Well, we still have the setback issue, right?
Well, the setback issue is a secondary issue at the variance, right? On the
5-foot variance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be... That comes back as a secondary issue, but that's separate from... the CUP that's being requested right now. Right?
Ideally,
it'd be nice if we
have a complete package.
We would have had the variance, but we've been through. I've been through with Scott a couple of times with the front yard setback and all of the development standards, and we caught this one last minute. It was never changed.
Ideally,
the variance
part
would have to come subsequent to the current request, which is to get a 20-foot accessory building and a 14-foot high door.
Okay. So you're saying this will, that would be heard at in January anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that would be our desire to hear it all at once so that we move forward with the package,
so,
right?
I'm not holding it back, good? Is that correct?
Well, we just want to, I think my motion was intended to give everybody a chance to talk, you know, communicate on this and make sure that
right.
everybody's...
And again, I'm not going
to
be...
Not trying to...
No. Understood. But everybody's got to live. Everybody's got to live together and get along. And you know, we have differences of opinion, but if you all can meet and talk and work through whatever concerns you may have, then
so we are intent to come forward in January to both the CDC and the folk council with this item and with the variance in totality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
We can do that.
That's so we're clear.
Is there something additional we need to add to get the variance within that CDC area?
Wednesday, Scott.
Okay.
And then I'll give you the application package and the fee.
We'll get it all.
You don't have to worry about the plans because the plans, we can just go off of what, well, actually,
well,
the
amended,
site plan has to be.
Amended.
Yeah.
Reflect a 50-foot front yard setback?
If you're not asking for a variance, but if you're asking for a variance,
yeah.
the plan wouldn't have to be amended if you
are just asked for a variance. If you are not asking for a variance, then you don't need a variance request, and you would need to amend the plans.
We would like to go on the path of requesting a variance on the front yard setback.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds
so
good.
That, Okay.
Okay.
That clarifies. Is that
yeah.
pretty good?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And then, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. Is that date already set for the January hearing?
No, the city council is meeting, I want to say January 18th, but don't quote. But the CDC would be just before that, and we haven't set a date there because it'll fall right in the holidays, and typically we've had an opportunity to. So we'll have to figure that out, and we'll let you know once I. That's one of the items is determined date of next meeting, item number six.
Plus the other thing too is the city council. I'm not sure about this meeting, but probably the next one will also be voting on the committee. So the committee structure may actually change for the next meeting.
They would not vote till January. Right. So the CDC as constituted will meet again
okay.
as currently okay. constituted.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you two will continue to be the CDC at least for that meeting. And then we'll move forward. So in January, we'll get you the dates. I don't know what date they want to meet for the CDC. Their schedules are both very, and we kind of lose a day with the holidays.
Right.
And I don't know when, isn't there a president's holiday or something in January too or something? Mm-hmm. We gotta.
So. Martin Luther King.
Okay, one of the days, I apologize. But we'll have to just work that out. So we'll let you know. On Wednesday for sure, we'll have everything for certain.
Sure.
So we can do it. But tomorrow night, while the item will stay on the agenda, we'll just be. In the introduction, then we're continuing it to the January meeting.
And there's no reason for us to be present for tomorrow night's meeting.
If you want to be, that's great, but there's no need. There'll be no need. We won't have a discussion. We'll supersede a discussion with the announcement that's been continued.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Okay, 4C. And do you want to deal with 4C and... Well, it's two items, actually. It's
4A and 4B?
No, it's 4. Keep going. 4C is a variance and a CUP together.
I can just...
We'll deal with both of them together instead of separate time. Them. So if that's okay, we'll deal with them in the same discussion.
And I'll start with the conditional use permit. This property involves currently a vacant site over at 18572 Mesa Drive. It's about a 17,000 square foot lot. The shape is very atypical, if you will, difficult topography. And so the conditional use permit has two parts to it. The first part, and I put the information sheet in sequential order as it comes in to play with the code, the zoning ordinance. So the first item under the conditional use permit is a request to exceed the maximum allowable building size of 38% for a future new single-family detached residence. And the request is to exceed it to 55%. Square footage-wise, the square footage is 6,638 square feet. And the request is 9,729 square feet. The second part of the conditional use permit is to exceed the maximum allowable height, again, for a garage door of 8 feet to 12 feet for a single roll-up garage door and 12 feet for a double roll-up garage door, again, for this future single-family detached residence. The variance, there are four parts to the variance. And I'll just go down each one of them. The variance is to reduce the minimum building side yard setback of 15 feet to 8 feet along the west property line. So if you're facing the property off of Mesa, it's on the left side. The second part of the variance is to exceed the maximum allowable height for a wall and fence of 3.5 feet within the first 20 feet of the front yard setback. The property owners are requesting 6 feet. The third part is to exceed the maximum allowable height for a retaining wall of 6 feet along the east property line and along a portion of the south property line where the height varies, I believe, at the highest would be 15 feet, if I'm not mistaken. And then the last part of that variance is a request to exceed the maximum allowable projection for a overhead trellis over a balcony into the side yard setback. The code allows for a projection of 40%, which equals to a little over 6 feet, to 59%, which is about 9 feet. And so that, in a nutshell, is what their requests are for these two related applications. I could summarize by saying that the variance requests are directly tied to the physical nature of the property. If you've been out there, you know how difficult the site is. It's got some pretty wicked topography. There's a lot of angle points to the shape of the property. And then once you net out all of the development standards like front yard setback, side and rear setback, it doesn't leave the property owner a whole lot of room to build. I mean, the building pad as it is today is pretty small. And so when you net out the setbacks or minimum required setback, it becomes even smaller. Staff is in support of the first three requests of the variance. We couldn't make findings to support the fourth one, which is the request to exceed the side yard setback for the overhead trellis work. And I'll leave it at that for now, and I'm happy to answer any questions at this time.
For the record, we also received in your package, you have a letter from Leslie Giancobi in support of the variances in the CUP. And that's in your agenda package. I believe everybody should have a copy of that.
And I'd like to also mention that Craig McIntosh, who is the architect, is here, as well as the Carey family, are here to answer any questions.
Do we have anyone that wished to speak during public comment? The owners or
you guys? I'd like to. My name is Joe Carey, Jr. I'm the son. My parents' house here. I'm a licensed civil and structural engineer. Basically, they have some real specific needs. Being my father's spinal injury, he's held to his wheelchair, and they've lived in Villa Park off of Villa Drive for over 30 years. Just due to the nature, the size of the vehicles they need now to basically drive him around, they're over 30 feet long. He's got two vans, and they're pretty tall profiles, so the 12-foot roll-up doors. The lot itself is really acutely obscure to Mesa Drive. It's nothing rectangular or even close to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the end of the curve where people are kind of racing around and accelerating for the straightaway. You know, if you park up on the street, it's pretty scary. What we've looked at, there isn't much inventory in Villa Park, so this was a beautiful view lot. We loved the location. The houses around are outstanding. Basically, we were looking at the house in April of this year, or the lot for a house, and we ended up closing in July of this year. So we spent a lot of time kind of with city staff trying to see what possibilities were, and then between July and right now, we've kind of developed the plans that we have as far as you shrink it down with the setbacks on the side yard. You know, given the topography, you have to retain no matter any way you go. And we're trying to keep a single story look from the street. We're trying not to have these massive garages right off the street, not to mention a safety factor. You know, with the length of the vehicle, he's hanging out in a curb where they're racing around the curb. And it's just not doable to go straight off the street. If we go straight off the street and park in the house, then you're going to have to go up and have a two-story house off of Mesa Drive, and I really don't think the neighbor across the street wants that. Basically, we're looking at putting in something that's state-of-the-art. We have a landscape architect that basically is designed and built for Bill Gates in Washington, lots of hotels in Hawaii, did the Zen Garden at Dodger Stadium. We want to put a piece of Hawaii on this lot around and make it look really sharp. Craig has some outstanding elevations and designs to kind of embrace the lot lines being what they are and take that into the shape of the house. As far as the elevations, I took, there's a putting green out there right now that's kind of a pad. I use that for a basis for the ground floor. If you put a 6-inch slab, that's the basement level for a carport area. We're proposing a slim driveway down to a carport area under the house where they could turn around and get off-street parking. So if they have visitors, they're not going to park on that curb. The main floor is like an intermediate elevation between each end of the frontage on the street. So that elevation gives my dad the ability to go right out the front door into the street in the event of a power failure. So basically, we're trying to work with what's there as far as contours and, you know, get the nuts and bolts to work and then be aesthetically pleasing.
Is there only one structure?
Yeah, there's one structure, and the garage doors, there's no way any neighbor could see those garage doors unless they got a drone, just because of the topography in it. So I don't know, nobody can really see those garage doors the way they're situated. You know, it's unless you get a helicopter or a drone, you're not going to be seeing them around the corner of the house.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My name is Marilyn Bailey, and I live just east of the property that is in question.
What's your address,
Marilyn? 18852 Mesa Drive.
Okay.
Yes. Please know that we've resided in Field Park for 43 years, and I think we're good neighbors. We look forward to the development of that lot adjacent to our home. My husband has been a builder in Orange County for almost 60 years, and we started developing homes in Villa Park 50 years ago. So we've lived in our home for 43 years. We understand construction and we encourage development. However, the zoning codes were developed to protect our community, and we want to ensure that variances are being approved responsibly because we love our home and we love our community. In response to the issues we have been asked to review, I'm reading it because I won't remember it.
That's okay.
One, the taller garage doors seem appropriate to accommodate the applicant's disability. The reduced setback on the west side of the house would have no impact on us, but would on our neighbor on the west side. 3, 4, 5, and 6, the garden variance, retaining wall variance, and overhang variance. All of these extremely high, non-compliant walls would be visible from our home and could have a significant negative impact on our property. The new garage area shows a number of windows out to the view, along with a full bath and shower. The 50% exceedance in the square footage allowed by the zoning code requested by the applicant is an unacceptable deviation from the objectives and requirements of the zoning code to maintain our spacious and relaxed community setting. For example, it appears that some of the requested variances may be avoided by reducing the size of the garage. Our last concern is regarding privacy. All of the east-facing windows in the proposed residence overlook the back of our home, which includes our pool area, main living areas, kitchen, and our master bedroom. Would the Careys be willing to include some taller hedges to provide some screening? We request that the City of Villa Park deny the requested variances with exception of garage door height and front fence height, and encourage the applicant to return with a design that is in conformance with the zoning code. If the applicant submits a revised plan that is in conformance with the city's zoning code, we request the following prior to consideration by the Community Development Committee. We would like to see a color sketch of the left side of the home to scale to better exemplify these requests so we can make proper comment. It would also be particularly beneficial if story poles were located on the property to better illustrate the requests for height variances. They are difficult to visualize from the small black and white sketches. We would also like to see a copy of the proposed exterior lighting plan, as this could have significant impact on our home at night. Thank you for the opportunity to review the proposed project. We look forward to working with the applicant and the city in the development of the project that is more in conformance with the city's zoning code.
So prior to today, have you all had any discussions with regards to the your concerns, or did you receive the letter of support?
We received the public notice, as did the rest of us.
And did you, at that time, have you had any discussions with them at all about this property?
No.
Okay.
And we made the attempt, and we weren't returned. We even asked Leslie if she could arrange a meeting, and it was not reciprocated.
Okay.
And we also left the drawings before Thanksgiving with a letter of support, requesting a letter of support.
Yeah, they did do that. They left, yeah. They left the letter with the copy of
things. So, I mean, we've been working on this a long time.
Right.
We have a pretty good design team. And, you know, we're on the east side she's talking about, we actually have a bigger setback than what's required. And that's to accommodate the drive to come down underneath. So, if anything, she has more privacy with that larger setback than what's required.
This is where the Bailey's live. And this is the driveway down. And this is the septic. Pardon?
The house is here.
The proposed house is here.
Yeah.
This is where the Bailey's live.
So, this is a 9-foot fence right here.
Goes up to 14.
What's the reason for the really high fence on that side?
Right now, it's a radical slope, and if you could imagine the slope like this, okay, if we had the house right here, we need a retaining wall right here to get a driveway.
Go down the driveway?
Down. Yeah, so we're following grade down, and if you look at, I can guarantee you, if you look at every house, there's two houses to the west to where they're starting a new construction. There's all the houses between the Billy Skelmington property and this lot all sit on the pad where we're proposing to put this house. And there's a driveway down to it, including their property. So they have a drive down to the pad. The problem is, if we push a drive down to a house at the pad, there's, with the rear setback and the side setback, there's no space for a house. There's zero square footage to build. So we're stuck to either you have a house on stilts, and you can have, let's say, a garage that's a two-car, if that'll make them feel better, unskirted, and a house on stilts, or you have a carport area that's secure out of the weather so my dad doesn't fall off the back of the lift.
Right.
And safe, so, you know, nobody's down there. You know, that's kind of what we're proposing. That's the only reason the square footage blew up. As far as the living space, it's well within the maximum living space.
Did we get any feedback from Ridgeview or Lee Circle, Steve, or Ray?
Down here from Lee Circle.
Okay. Ma'am, would you like to speak?
Well, I was just listening to the conversation, and my concern is always the view, and I'm not really quite sure how it, if it's next to the Baileys, that lot next to the Baileys, I'm concerned about the impact on the view and all of the grading. I did see that.
But which house do you live in?
9701.
9701?
Lee Circle.
So you'd be looking uphill towards the house instead of them, they would be looking downhill a little bit, correct?
Yeah. She's below me.
I'm exactly below Marilyn.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you in favor of this?
Actually, quite frankly, this is, you know, I had that notice as well, and it's the first, as Marilyn mentioned, that I'd even heard of it. So I would actually not be in favor of right this minute. I'd have to look at what some of the issues she discussed.
Go ahead, ma'am. Yeah, I'm living on 1877 Mesa Street, that directly at my front house.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, my husband signed the supporting letter without the knowledge because he hurried to leave home. So she just showed up and told him that she had to improve the garage. That's why he signed. I didn't realize they built a new home until Mary Lynn informed me last week.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days.
Okay.
So if they be right, that's the most beautiful place in Villa Park because all the view. People walking every morning, they talking, standing there, enjoy the beauty of the mountain. If now he built a house right there, it blocked everything and blocked directly to impact in my house. for sure my property will go down because it's right on my front lawn.
How much would the rooftop extend up above the road?
2.5 feet.
We're I think roughly approximate 15 feet above the road for top of roof above the road, so we're single story. I mean, we could even push that to a two-story if we have to put the garages up top and eliminate that retaining wall. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so all of a sudden it could go from, let's say, the 15 feet above the street to 32 feet above the street. Mm-hmm. So that could really be crushed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're asking for 2.5 feet above what's allowed in the Villa Park.
The height.
So you're going to 30 right. and a half feet.
On the roof line,
we're not going above. We're within the height restriction on the first floor.
Why are you asking for the extra 2.5 feet?
We're not asking for the only.
It was on something.
The only height restriction we're asking for is to raise those from the property line, the garden walls from 3.5 to 6. But we're not raising the height the house above existing. The house is within the maximum allowed height.
It sounds like to me that unlike the previous situation, we have many more folks that are concerned about the situation. Is it, you know, I'd almost say we push this one till January as well and ask that you meet with these folks and see if you can work through and help them understand what's going on with the property. And
well, my only concern with that is we tried and we were shut out. We weren't given a time of day. So
I think they've shown a desire to weigh in and talk to you a little bit. You know, I mean.
Well, Leslie called me, and she asked me if I would come and have a glass of wine and meet the Careys. I said I'd be very happy to meet the Careys, but my decision is made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you can't to ask people to put 17,000 square foot lot, which is 3,000 smaller than Villa Park allows, to put an almost 10,000 square foot structure is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I might add a comment. James Warman, 18702 Mesa Drive. I think many of the smaller items in here can be worked out, and I certainly have no trouble with the garage door, and I think it's actually smart staggering the house with the single floor at the higher elevation. My concern is, I bought in Villa Park just a few years ago. I lived next door for 20 years. I didn't know Villa Park was a city, right? I thought it was a high school. One day I found an ad, drove through here, and told my wife, you do not need to look for a vacation house because I found a spot that has no neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much space. And my biggest concern is the general concept that the footprint of this house is so large on that lot that it's going to loom by comparison to the rest of Villa Park. It's going to loom over its neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see a lot of intelligence going into the use of the land. I just have a real concern about the size, and what I see is pushing every possible setback, except maybe the rear, is putting a footprint so big on that property that it won't be like Villa Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my answer to that is, good luck. If you build anything, you're going to encroach the property lines. We're actually given more of a setback than what's required on the one side. We're just asking for a little relief on the other side. That property owner is totally in favor. They love the concept, plans, and everything. You know, basically. No matter what you do, it's gonna loom just because of the nature of the topography, the shape of the lot. It's acutely askew to the street. So when you take a box and fold it to where there's no backyard, you have a wide footprint no matter how you slice it. And then when you have 33 feet of relief, that's a challenge. And I think we have a good solution here, and when you're offering more on one side than what's required, I don't know what more you could want. I really don't.
On our side, but not on our side.
No, on your side, what we can
you're
end
right
up
on
with
the
is
property
a,
line.
What we can end up with is a house on stilts with a turnaround underneath, and then you're going to see something that's not aesthetically appeasing. Do you want that? Because that
I'm
doesn't
not,
require any CUP.
I don't live down that driveway. I live on the other side of the driveway.
I know, the Lambs are in favor of it. They live down that driveway. They support it.
Daisy Lamb doesn't know enough about it. I talked to her, and she lives alone. There aren't Lambs.
Sir, I'm ready to say a couple words here. I'm Leonard Savala. I live across the street from Bailey here. And
what's your address, sir?
About 50 years. We have our house, and then we have a lot right next to it. In fact, we have a little subdivision as part of our unit. I'm always available to talk to him. I don't know this gentleman. Never saw him, never seen him. I don't know a thing about him. I got word about it when you sent me the notice. I talked to Marilyn Bailey about it, asked her if she had a notice. She said yes. And she says, she had plans. And I said, well, I'll go down to the city and get them to see what they're talking about. When I saw the plans, I was all, you know, completely disturbed. Because the lot I have there, in fact, my house, and the lot that there is, if he builds that house the way he is, he knocks our view site out completely. And the people that just bought the house next door to us, that's the reason they bought that house. She's not going to have a view at all. Now, he's talking about 16 or 18 feet. The way I get it on the plan, they have a skylight that's a 24-5. That's 24 feet above the street. On the one side there is 22 and a half feet above the street. So I don't know what he's talking about there either. And that's just a quick view of it. I've only had the plan since yesterday. So, but at least, you know, if you're going to make a subdivision or if you're going to make a house or whatever, you got to talk to your people that are there. We're right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got a question, Ray. It appears, you know, I was down and I've looked at the property,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they're proposing this large retaining wall. It appears that they're going to have to put a lot of fill to meet these, you know, to get this driveway up there. And right now, it doesn't look like you need a retaining wall to put run a driveway down around. But
what was the wall issue, or?
Yeah,
it's a second story looking over in her backyard that's the issue.
Yeah, but the house is on top of the driveway, which requires the fill to get up that high.
The only way you could get access is to have a driveway long enough and follow the terrain that's there. If you follow the terrain that's there, you need a wider pad in order to get a car down it. So the property right now is graded to where it's a real steep slope down to the property line. So if you put that retaining wall, you create a wedge of fill, and you have the width of a vehicle to get access underneath. So, I mean, basically, you're creating the path down. You're using the existing pad that's underneath, and you're making use of that let's say, vehicle space underneath to turn around and park. The house itself, you're about 5,000 square feet up at the street, and you're single story. I mean, we spent, you know, more than 2 months with the city. This property's been on the market for a while, and we wanted to make sure it was buildable. By the sound of it, it's like they don't want it buildable. You know, we're going to a single story from the street. I think that's much more pleasing than potentially it could be two-story from the street.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would think we're trying to get the best appeal from the street side. If you start getting setbacks, you know, you're talking 30 feet out of right of way. You're way down on that slope, so you're kind of stuck with retaining walls. If you have 33 feet of fall from front to back, you know, with your grading company, you're going to have a retaining wall. You know, so you have to have structures in there to create a path. There's no ifs or buts, and you know, I don't. That's how you get it.
I mean, we went through a lot to get this lot to work buildable, and we tried many different things. And this solution really takes advantage of the existing site, and actually uses it quite well, with just supporting some certain points to be able to get that driveway to work. But the house, the fact that we're going to keep it one story at the street, which is really going to protect views more than anything. The house is going to be built there. We can't not do it because we don't want a house there. There is going to be a house there, and what we did when we designed it was to try to get a one story at the street to help alleviate this view issue, and then tuck it into the hill so even the back portion isn't going to be.
Yes, ma'am.
The house is going to be on the street. It's 5,642 or 82 square feet. But the 4,000 square foot garage, which I don't understand that, and it doesn't have to be on stilts, is going to be under that one story, and the 12 foot garage door means that the ceiling on the garage is at least 14 to 15 feet. Which puts the one story above that, which is in essence like a two story.
Right. I think what he explained earlier was that the height of the vehicles that they have to use to transport the gentleman is requiring a higher.
That's fine. I don't mind that. But what I'm saying is the garage has to be at least 2 to 3 feet taller than the garage door.
Right.
Which means the house is pushed up higher because. 4,000 square feet, there isn't enough room to put the garage back here. It has to go underneath that one story.
Well, the house is, the front of the house is dictated by the street, not right. The bottom of the garage.
Exactly.
So we're putting the first floor level at street level. It has nothing to do with the garage floor location. What we don't want to do with the gentleman wheelchair is to have the house floor lower than the street to where there's too much of a slope and he can't get his wheelchair out. So
understood.
So we're designing for a specific purpose of making this house very accessible for him. And we're not using the garage floor as the base for where the second floor goes. And we're also from that point of the street level and the floor level, then we're only keeping the house one story, which again is a way of kind of visually keeping the size of the house. So when you're driving on the street, it does look like a single-story residence.
So and I haven't been up there yet, unfortunately. I've seen the property, I know it, but aren't there one-story homes along that same stretch?
Well. They're
on the right-hand side over there.
The one and two.
Mesa Avenue is kind of unusual place in Villa Park. It runs along the top of the ridge line. Mm-hmm. So many of the houses that you see as you drive down Mesa are below.
Right. This one here sits above.
Yeah. But most everybody else's, all the other houses have solved that equation. They figured out how to get access to the property, lower the houses down. This topography is, it's a slightly different configuration, but it's the same general issue. Is the building pad's going to be below the street level. We had another project that was the first or second project that we looked at, and they've got perhaps even a more difficult lot to build on, and they figured out how to provide the parking. They've got an entrance coming in on the west side and a two-car garage, again, with the higher garage door height. And then you go down across the front of the house to the east side, and there's another double garage door with higher garage. Now, you don't have 11-car garage, but
the 11-car garage isn't the issue. If you park on that street, you're asking them to back an accessible van right into a blank curve at a skew angle. That's a safety issue.
We've all made parking areas in front of our homes. We've been it, and the Robitaille's did it, and the Brigham's did it.
Yeah,
have it, and there's no reason you can't do it.
No, as an engineer, there's a challenge here with the flag lot, and that's cut. There's a steep cut. There's absolutely no property beside it to get a level ground to where you can have an access down. You have property on each side of you where it's flat enough, you can do that. You even have a joint driveway where you guys come in like a regular road and you get into your house, right?
And the next house on this side is down the driveway.
So yeah, but I mean, it's way away and going down. You have a steep cut. You have enough width. This one, by the time you get the setbacks and the topography, there's like nowhere to build.
But let me say one more thing. If Leonard Savala, if the Savalas in 2 or 3 years decide to sell their property, okay? And say it's an acre and a half. I don't know how big it is, but I'm just saying hypothetically. And I decided to buy that lot and say to the city, I want to put a 30,000 square foot mansion on that property. And they look at me and say, you're nuts. And I say, well, you did it across the street. So you set a precedent. If you set a precedent, you got to follow through.
Well, I think it's case by case, and this one is not your normal lot that's a rectangle right off the street on a straightaway. This is in the curve. It's highly skew and it's highly sloping. By the time you squeeze the sides and everything in, there's literally nothing unless you want to go up. So if you think it's bad now, if you take away that drive and get parking up top, you're going to have to go up.
Well, the problem is, you know, I feel bad that your dad has a disability. But, you know, maybe they shouldn't have bought that lot because it's a very difficult lot to begin with.
That's why we spent the time we did with staff, and we made sure it was buildable, and we're pretty compliant. I mean, we're talking about
55% is not compliant.
Well, if you want a house on stilts, you'll get a house on stilts, and it'll be a turnaround area. But we can't have parking on the street there. That's dangerous. We need a place to turn around. That we need a safe place for him to unload and get access. I don't know.
You don't need a 4,000 square foot garage with a bath with a shower.
That 4,000 square foot garage is a carport area to turn the vehicle around. I hope you understand that. You have to go inside the garage to turn around.
Yeah, and 4,000 square feet?
Have you seen the vehicle? This is a vehicle.
I know what a Sprinter is. Okay. I know what a Sprinter is.
You see
you
that?
You don't need 4,000 square feet
you
to turn it around.
You need a big path to turn it around. You really do. You can't turn it around 90 degrees. I mean, it's just impossible.
Well, what you're doing is you're doing a service for yourself. I think the lot was sold, 6 months ago?
In
July. The lot's
been
there 50 years that I know of. So you bought it 4 or 5 months ago, and then you're telling your neighbors to go to hell, you're going to lose all your view?
Are you saying that we shouldn't be allowed to build?
Is that what you're saying, that I'm going to build a house here, but take the view away from the neighbors?
That don't even make sense.
Folks, I
noticed you built a track in the back of your zone. What about telling all those neighbors to go to hell?
I went ahead and saw all my neighbors. We talked about everything. And if you look at my track, you don't see the neighbors directly below you. You see everything across from you. If you go over there and take
They're
a look at it, you'll
lots.
See that.
Yeah. Sir, I'm inclined, me personally, not to move this forward to the council for any type of approval. There's too much discord here between neighbors. And that's not good for Bella Park. In all honesty, I mean, there's got to be some compromise or something for everybody so that we all can get along as good neighbors. I understand your concerns. I understand your situation. But at the same time, I've got more neighbors that are, and I'm not convinced that all the neighbors have weighed in.
Well, I could see open discussion. My concern is, if they just don't want something built there, what do we do? Because that's what I'm hearing.
I think that given the opportunity to digest your plans and provide input and things like that, and have a come together and talk about it and your design, and maybe you make some compromises, they make some compromises, maybe we can come up with something everybody can get along with.
Well,
I understand both sides. Me personally, I can't speak for the other councilman here, but I'm just speaking for me.
I've got a woman that's running rapid, trying to convince everybody around what a bad thing we're doing here. And we've spent a lot of money in making this really nice for the neighbors. And there's no consideration in that. What? What'd you say?
He's just mumbling.
Well, I don't know that we're going to solve this here tonight. You have a motion?
Yeah,
comments?
I've got initially comments. First of all, on the 6-foot fence in the front, that is, again, not in conformance with our pardon? Okay, I'm sorry. The 11-foot fence in front is not in conformance with our zoning requirements. We have a 42-inch maximum. And I went and inspected the property. I don't see any need for safety purposes for anything more than a 42-inch fence. And actually went all the way down up and down Mesa and around the rest of the city. And we don't have front yard fences that are greater than 42 inches. Pardon?
What about the one that we approved a few months ago?
That's a side yard fence?
No, it's front.
No, it's a side yard, but it's the front of the side yard.
My parents had one right across the street from them on Villa Drive. They've been there since the 80s. So there's one approved there.
Well,
that's a CUP.
Again, that's not in conformance. And there's no justification for a 6-inch fence because your property behind where the hedge is currently is not steep. I know up in Cerro Villa Drive that we approved a 6-foot high fence, but that was because we asked the resident to widen the street, and they had to put in a retaining wall, and it's several feet sheer fall from the sidewalk to the ground level.
Can you hold that for a moment? I'd like to give you a real perspective.
Let me finish my comments. We've listened to you. And also I've spoken with your neighbor right across the street, and she has real concerns with a 6-foot high fence.
Yes.
Right across from her property. So you don't have the approval of or support of your immediate neighbor that would be most impacted by that fence. Throughout the application or reviewing this, I see a number of references to, well, you know, so-and-so did this, so we should have, you know, elsewhere in the city they got to do this, so we should be able to do that too. In other words, if we approve something somewhere in the city, that establishes a precedent so that everybody should be able to do it. And I think if we approve our zoning code has existed since our city was founded in 1962, and it's served us well for 66 years. Or 56 years, if my math is right. The requirement, the maximum building size requirement has been in place for decades, and it served us well. We've developed a community where we do retain the spaciousness that Councilman Pitts referenced and that I think we all appreciate. And what you're asking for is to go almost 50% beyond what the zoning is for your property. If we applied that to every half-acre property in Villa Park, we'd have a bunch of 11,000 square foot houses. That's not what Villa Park wants. I mean, McMansions are for other cities, not for Villa Park. I think I'd go a step further than Councilman Pitts. I'd recommend that we deny the request. I think that what you're trying to do is fit a square peg in a round hole. Given your dad's disability and the size of the property, I don't see you being able to come up with something that's really going to work to meet your needs and to provide all the space that you're looking for. You want an 11-car garage, a big spacious house, you know, the ability to get him in and out. I don't see it working. It's a beautiful design that you've come up with. I really like it. I'd like to see that design somewhere else in Villa Park where you've got a large enough property. And there are properties around in Villa Park that could accommodate something like that, but this one isn't it. As much as I'd like to see us accommodate you in some fashion, I just don't see it happening. I don't see how we could make this work given all your constraints. It's like you're asking, as was mentioned by another speaker earlier, it's like you've asked for variance upon variance upon variance to try to make this work. And
it's a difficult lot.
It's a difficult lot, and you're wanting to do a lot with it. I know that there are lots just across Mesa. You could buy two lots and put, a 10,000 square foot residence on that. But you've got less than a half acre there. So I'd recommend, my motion is that we deny it and come back. If you want to continue to develop that property, come back with something that is in substantial conformance with the zoning requirements.
It's something the neighbors can live with, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's going to be happy with everything you do or don't do, but there's things I don't like about what my neighbors have done, but at the same time, get along.
My killer is the lot line is literally behind the hedge, and you say it's flat, but then you got to set the front of the house 30 feet back from that. So it's down the mountain, and you're talking a hillside home.
You bought the wrong property to try to
achieve it. Well, we tried working, and we thought...
It doesn't work. That's...
Why? Just as a point of order, so to the extent that the CDC would deny this, or whatever is what I'm hearing the motion would be, the applicant has the right to appeal to the city council tomorrow night. It is agendized. With the understanding, the applicant needs to know that 40% of that city council has already weighed in on it. So those other three remaining members would have to vote affirmatively. And I'm just, the same testimony, the same would occur. I share that. But the applicant has the right to say, I'd like to have this heard on the council tomorrow night as well. So just as a point of order, I want everybody here to understand.
He does.
All right. Is there any way to salvage the fee and work and see if we can appease everyone, come up with a design?
Well, I think that's what Councilman Mayor Pro Tem Pitts had suggested. I don't know if that's possible because I can't see the future, but I think that's what the suggestion was, correct? So to that be the case, Ray will certainly be available to do, but I think there's a lot of discussion with neighbors that would have to occur.
And we do have...
It's not a city issue. It really becomes a neighborhood.
We do have a zoning code, and, it's going to be tough for you. You've got a highly skilled architect here. If he can figure out a way to make it work with and comply with our zoning.
We're certainly here to continue help work through whatever options you want to consider. So, city staff will be available.
But is the majority of the issue really in the coverage is the garage itself?
Well, I think
drives it up considerably.
Yeah, when you try to put a 10,000, almost 10,000 square foot building on a 17,500 square foot lot, yeah, it's in
over under.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might. If they really need that,
go back and take a look at your design and see if there's a way you can improve it.
Yeah, Ray can. But I don't think we're over on lot coverage, right?
No, they were in building compliance.
Size. Yeah, we're
in compliance with the lot coverage.
Lot coverage. It's not like it's...
It's not coverage, it's building size.
Building size.
The size of the building.
Yeah, it's building size.
Yeah, it's building size, but not lot coverage.
Right.
Lot coverage
is
the mass.
But I think building size has kind of created all the other problems.
It has, but if you look at lot coverage, building size, when a lot of it's tucked into the hill... It's not something you see. Like if you just say building size, but if the downstairs portion is 75% covered, you don't really see that it's a big two-story block. So that's the...
But from a building code, though, it would still require a CUP because it
doesn't... I'm not arguing that point. It's just like we don't want to treat it like it's a big two-story block that everybody's going to see. It is tucked into that hill. So it isn't this just massive thing that everybody's talking about.
So is the motion to deny or to continue, or what's just
my motion is to deny, and you can always resubmit a different plan.
I would say continue. I'd like to continue.
Okay.
You want to? What's the?
But I.
Councilman, is that?
Okay, we can continue.
So we'll continue the item. The item is continued
until
next month, and it will allow the opportunity for anyone to meet.
Give him the opportunity to revisit the design.
So the continuation is to the next CDC meeting, and it would not be heard tomorrow night.
It's off the calendar for tomorrow night.
It is technically, it's a public hearing, so it is on the agenda, but when the item is introduced, we'll indicate that the CDC has requested that the item be continued for a month to come back to the CDC in January. And at that time, the expectation would be that the applicant would either have options with discussions with the neighbors, or we would be at the same point, and I think we would fall into where the councilman is saying at that point that he couldn't support it.
Right.
Is that what we're saying?
Well,
if nothing changes, or
can I ask, are they going to come back with the exact same everything?
We don't know.
Next month?
We don't know. We're asking to come back that what they have today
is not
approvable.
Well, we're gonna sit down and talk to them and see what it is, what direction we need to go. It's kind of hard to say at this moment.
May I suggest that, like Newport, you throw up story poles, because I think part of the problem is just visualization. If, as you're saying, most of this building will be hidden and tucked, you know, into the hillside. With some story poles in place, people would be able to see that, and they would see the effect of wall height, et cetera.
Well, that's what I asked for in the letter.
Well, I think that if you allow me, that would allow the month continuance would allow discussions between the applicant and the neighbors to decide what would help facilitate anything that works or not works.
Facilitate approval.
Or
redesign or whatever.
Whatever the options would be.
You have a better understanding of
the requirement. Right now, what you brought forward is not approvable. Okay? And so in order for it to become approvable, we want you to work with your neighbors and look at your design. And if you come back with something that is approvable.
And look at the
zoning code. Yeah. That's approvable. That's all about approvability.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
My name is Tina Carrick. I live at 19152 Bridgeview Road in Villa Park. They have medical issues and have had to call paramedics.
Understood.
Several times. So the parking area would also probably need to have them the ability to bring a paramedic vehicle in with their vehicles to turn around. That's what the space is. There are only two people living there. And maybe later on they'll have a caretaker living there in one of the bedrooms. The safety on the street is, if you park in front of that property, it's not safe to park there and open your door. And you've got people coming up the street at 50 miles an hour, and we almost got hit there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safer to actually have an area to park. Family comes and visits from Idaho, Chicago, London. And when they come in with their vehicles, they would be able to park in the garage instead of on the street, which would make it safer for them as well as for, you know, it would just be a lot safer.
Understood.
Each one of us have built an area for parking for our guests. We did it, the Robitaille's did it. Well, they didn't do it, the Bernies did it. And the Brigham's did it, which is where Eddie lives now. And we did.
And
there's no reason why they can't.
But it's a different lot.
I know, they should not have bought the lot for the problems that they have.
May I suggest something, please? Essence of time, can we proceed, have everyone talk, revisit the design? If you all want to put poles up, whatever it is, as far as we're concerned, we're continuing it until next month. I hope that you all will all go sit down and talk about this and figure out a way to work together and come up with an amiable solution for everybody. Okay.
But for clarification, tomorrow night, the item stays technically, because it's a public notice, on the agenda, and when it gets introduced, it would be continued at that time. So the action, there will no be, well, just like the item that we heard previously, staff will introduce that item, be it as continued item until January. So that's what the action will be.
Good.
Okay?
We're done, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we establish?
What day on June?
That's what I say, on Wednesday, we'll have to, we'll know for certain on Wednesday, because we have, that's one of the items, is to set the agenda date.
I just moved here. I really love the flavors. I don't want the big block.
You can call City Hall on Wednesday morning and or tomorrow morning, and we'll have better dates. I just don't have the calendar in front of me, and I don't know what they're going to want to work for a date. So
Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning would be perfect. Ray will be in the office Wednesday.
Sir.
Thank you.
Sir, I just not going to make it.
Do you have a way of contacting?
Right there. Go see him. Quick, run.
Okay. All right. Thank you all.
Next item.
Item D, 4D.
Folks, if you all don't mind, I'm sorry. Could you all step outside, please? I appreciate it. Thank you.
Item 4D was an item raised by then Mayor Colicott, now Councilman Colicott, who talked about in the past CDC meeting about the possibility of having a proposed requirement as opposed to an informal policy where we would notify adjacent residents when construction of a second story is proposed.
No, I was requesting an informal policy. I think really call it a where it's not a building requirement, but
a design guideline.
Design guideline, yeah.
Okay. We don't have that in place at this point, so you asked to come back and have that discussion at this meeting. So that's agendized for that purpose.
Yeah. Where folks are proposing a second story, like something like this, but I know there have been other development or proposed projects around town, and people have expressed concern that, I didn't hear about this until the last minute, that they're proposing a second story. And usually, what I'm suggesting is that we ask the project proponents that are proposing a second story to just notify their neighbors so that they can work things out early in the process if there's concern about window placement or, balcony placement or so forth, so that we can maintain privacy to address those, allow them to address those concerns early in the process rather than waiting until the last minute when they...
Like right now.
Yeah, like right now.
Well, I think you were talking too about not even when there's not a variance requested, just simply as a courtesy, good neighbor policy where even if it complies with building code, that we would have that request. That was, I think, what you said.
Yeah. And what was, it was actually brought up to me by a resident. He lives on the street that Chad lives on. And down at the end, they're building a new two-story house. It's going to be a very large house. And they were saying, we just found out about this. They've already got staked out. They're ready to pour the footings. We just heard about this thing.
Well, I don't like 10 days. I think it needs to be longer. And I think we need to push it out 500 feet or more for people. I mean, if you look at all the people affected here, it just...
Well, I think...
I was worried more about these people right here than I was these people.
Well, I think he's talking... I understand what you're saying on the notice requirements, but I think you're talking about even when there's no notice required because it's in compliance with code, that we would have a design guideline that basically said, look, if you're doing a remodel or a building a structure, two stories, even though you're within code, you should advise the neighbors accordingly.
Yeah, just let the neighbors know so that they can do this.
That's different. It's a second, we have the legal requirements about the
right.
So this is kind of a secondary. So even when there wouldn't be a notice required, we would informally be asking for a design guideline that they provide that notice.
Yeah, just provide some, tell your neighbors, look, I'm proposing a two-story where I currently have a one-story. Like, even down in the area along Francisco and Vita, talk with the residents there, they're concerned about, somebody built a two-story.
Well, we have that at Patrician and Camden, actually.
Yeah.
Where they built that there, and it's all within code. but the neighbors are concerned, like, whoa.
Yeah.
That isn't, it's very much within code. It's all within setback, so it's legally.
It's within code. I'm struggling a little bit with mandating that somebody talk to each other.
Design guideline.
No, I understand, yeah. But still, I don't want to come across it being, what do you call it, one of those places like Code of the College.
Homeowners Association.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that. It's just, you know, I think people typically want to be courteous, but they just don't think to call their neighbor.
Or then you get situations like this, which is not good either.
Yeah.
I don't. They had to know somebody's going to buy the damn property sooner or later.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and build a house. You know, build a house. If he does it within code.
Problem. If he does that, yeah, does within code, no problem.
Sorry.
It's ministerial. We don't, it doesn't come to us.
We candidly only would have to approve a building permit at that point with a plan check.
Even the amount of variances because of road, you know, driveway problems and things like that. But this is going to the nth degree.
Yeah, this is pushing every boundary.
Right. I almost felt like asking, is there another variance that we overlooked that you overlooked?
Well, I think if we were to propose a design guideline, I guess
what pissed me off is it's a still a single, from looking over in their yards, still a single story house.
Yeah. Well, we got to be careful because the item's already over the agenda. But I would, just from a design guidelines, if the approval of the group, we'll bring forward design guidelines to the City Council for a full consideration. Is that?
Yeah, just
if you're design. If you're okay
maybe
with
if
it.
If we could just, yeah.
We'll bring forward because the full council would have to approve that.
Yeah, just request that they notify their neighbors. That's all it would be.
Okay, we will.
Just so that they've got a heads up that that's a reminder that that's a good thing to do.
All right.
I can't imagine. I built two sheds and I went and talked to my neighbors and told them what the hell I was doing.
Yeah, but the Chad's neighbor didn't. And that they're proposing is a 6,000 square foot house in the other man's backyard where there was a single story to begin with. It's like, wait a minute.
Have you got anything else, Steve?
Yeah, we have, you have the monthly attached building and safety permit is processed, and then that's item number, for the record, that's item number 4A, and code enforcement item number 4B, you have status on those projects as well. All those
Do
are listed.
Do we have any code enforcement things that we need to come before the council?
Not this month. You won't have anything. Well, we've already talked to the one in closed session. That closed session item is moving forward, and I didn't want to get, but the state has already engaged on that one. I think I mentioned to you the state has engaged.
Will we be discussing that again in closed session tomorrow?
No, there's no, at this point, there's no.
No change.
Well, we're moving forward on what we're doing, and the they're in discussions with both the owners in discussions with us and the state.
Okay.
So there is an active.
Is that approaching?
Yes. Yeah. He. They have. Yeah. Well, he took property off of that. He dug into it. He took out trees and whatnot.
That was all this gentleman's property.
Yes. They've hired an attorney. So that's the thing. There's a lot of legal issues here that the owner has to deal with. So that's owner-to-owner issues that are legal that aren't really hard.
I didn't hear about that. I didn't know about that.
And the gentleman said that he notified the city in August or something, but
we had notified. When he notified us, we received notice from his attorney, actually, at that time, and we had already notified.
Really?
Yes. So we'd already taken action to notify, but we had to give 30 days. You know how you have to give notice and you do all the, then we issue a stop work order. There's a process we were going through at that time as well.
It's crazy not to go take out a neighbor's tree.
We probably should stay off the subject. There's a lot of, that will be a resolution that exceeds the jurisdiction of
the
city of Villa Park. Let me just say that.
Billy's a really nice guy. I want the best for him, but jeez.
Okay, and then
none of these we need to be.
No, the city will not take action. It's an update on status of where they are. Many of them are resolved. So you get a copy of the record of what's on. Typically, Bill Terran in December does not issue a lot of letters. He goes around and talks to people because of the holidays. Just exactly what you're saying, correspondence and things get lost. So a lot of the code enforcement issues are handled verbally in December. There'll be a ton of them going out in January if they don't resolve those issues. The first page of this is the building permits that are issued.
Okay, now the building permits that were issued, there are some big ones here. We've got the one on Providence Drive. Is that are they in a second story, or is it $300,000?
I don't have the... We can get those, and same with the...
And the Canyon Crest one, is that's the one that we heard earlier tonight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gonna, we're going to be discussing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Crestview, that's one here, right?
Yes.
Oh, I got Canyon Crest and Crestview.
Mm-hmm.
I got Canyon Crest and Crestview mixed up.
You and I were thinking the same thing, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Canyon Crest... That is the one we heard earlier, right? The Canyon Crest, the first item here on the agenda. Let's see.
Crestview?
This Crestview.
Oh, yeah. Crestview. Okay, Crestview is the one that's $300,000.
Crestview, Mesa, and
Canyon Crest. Canyon Crest, are you familiar with that project?
It's right,
the 18852.
18852.
Oh, new single family dwelling.
Yeah, it's a new
one. So a $600,000 property and getting $2,000 off.
Well, that's for the permitting. That's.
Mm.
Does it ring a bell?
That's a new single family.
New single family?
Contractor, this is where you want to do your work.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, where the
Canyon Crest.
Yeah.
Hmm. Unless it has a variance or a CUP, I wouldn't. Yeah.
And then, Mayor Pro Tem, item number 3 is the item that we had on the code enforcement violations. That's where you'll see the item that's listed there with citation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that we...
Right.
Yeah, that's on there. But there is nothing closed session that we'll need to deal with.
Okay.
At this point.
We have a different agenda item for that. Closed session.
Yeah.
Robbie, good meeting. This is the biggest, I've been on this committee for going on 5 years now, and it's the biggest.
And then the last.
I don't understand not talking to your neighbors. I mean, she's absolutely refusing to talk to me.
Well, if we can finish the just agenda, I hate to be on. We've got to be careful what's on the record potentially here. The street maintenance project is in process at this point. That's the big, thing.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to be, they've moved the water meters up there. Serrano has completed that work, and that was done by last Friday. So you're going to see some cuts and things on Valley happening. You're going to see some other work happening under the streets. So it's happening in earnest now. The completion date will be January 31st for all work, including striping. So that'll all be done.
So Valley will be redone and paved?
Everything will be, the entire, not only Valley, but all the street projects will be done. They're going to see very active mobile.
Is part of the project?
Our Park Villa, sir. I mean, the whole list, list will be done.
Okay.
That's the whole contract.
Good.
So it's all been, they're mobilizing, and you're going to start seeing heavy activity now. One of the things we did
and
is we pushed past the...
All the right-of-way issues and stuff have been resolved up on Valley?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And owners have been notified. We had to, I think we just, they talked today and asked somebody to move their mailbox. But we've the only one I think we're dealing with is...
driveway.
Huh? That's all been dealt with. We're all be dealing with it.
Okay.
And the Spectrum, I think we're waiting for them to move one of their boxes because we can't move Spectrum's cable equipment.
We're not moving curbs, are we? Because isn't there some curb up there too? Curb and gutter?
Existing curb and gutter stays. There are some berms that will have to be readjusted. There's an asphalt berm on the corner that gets readjusted because that's not going to work. And there's some of that's going to have to happen.
Okay.
So there is a lot of... Valley is a major project. There's a major effort on that one.
Yeah.
That's sort of a lot of work that needs to be done there, and it will be done right. Oh, that's the intent, to do it all right. So that's where we are on the...
Okay. Adjourn.
Okay.
Stop.
Let me get the stuff.